So, mom or dad, have you been wondering when to have the talk with your child? The rite of passage dialogue can be equally uncomfortable for both sides. But researchers for the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics recently confirmed that talking with your children about sex is the best way to prevent unwanted pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections. And timing is key. You should do so before he or she turns 14 years old. Dr. Nadine Pierre-Louis is a family therapist and human growth and development educator who happens to agree with the findings. She says it's easiest for parents to avoid the topic because they convince themselves that sex ed programs are already addressing what their child wants and needs to know. But that's only half of the entire picture.
Because they're based on education, their focus is on the science. And going through puberty is not just about the science. There's a whole emotional, social component to it. So the parent can cover that role and make that transition easier for the kids. They can supplement by giving the children context as to what they're experiencing. For example, the schools will discuss changes in hormones and how that will cause mood swings. But they will not go into the fact that, for example, males will experience mood swings similar to the way females experience mood swings. And so if the parents are aware of this, they can have that conversation, but they can take it that extra step where they can discuss how do you cope when you're feeling irritable and angry. And so the parents can have into that discussion and give the kids context as to how, from their perspective and their set of values, what appropriate behavior would be.
Sounds simple enough until you attempt to broach the topic. But Dr. Pierre-Louis says think of how your child feels. They're full of questions and yet are proportionately bereft of the courage to bring it up.
The ones that kids have the most interest in but are most afraid to ask is in terms of size. For girls, they will be interested in what they can expect developmentally as far as hips and breasts. With boys, their curiosity is about penis size, but they are afraid to have those conversations. They don't necessarily know what normal ranges are or what determines what size they're going to be. That's usually the biggest question that kids have.
So keep it simple, she suggests. Don't run from what amounts to normal outcomes for most people.
Here's the interesting thing. On the male side of this discussion is where the most nervousness occurs. And the reality is 95% of the population falls within a 5% differential. So in other words, everybody's nervous to talk about something where pretty much most of the population is in the normal range.
Think of it this way.
We're making kids uncomfortable about things they don't need to be uncomfortable about. If a child asked you how tall he was going to be, You'd have no problems answering them based on genetics. You'll either take from the short side of the family or the tall side of the family. Everything else in the anatomy follows the same premise. There really should be no difference in discussing development of sexual organs than you would the size of your feet or your height or your weight.
Something else your child needs to know about their maturing years, hygiene.
They will not ask you. Most of them are not even aware initially. And unfortunately, if you don't prepare them, that's something that sets them up for possible bullying situations. Because unfortunately, the way our noses work, we can smell others before we can smell ourselves. And so as kids near probably around 9 or 10, you actually need to have the hygiene conversation with them and let them know that their body is going to be changing. They're going to start sweating more. There are discussions of discharges, and so that how important hygiene is. And they're not going to come to you with this because they're going to be offended, frankly.
But again, keep it simple and don't judge.
You're coming to them and going, your body's going to do this. It's normal. You need to be prepared.
Pierre-Louis says once you've established the general hygiene conversation, allow it to evolve into a more focused dialogue.
We have conversations about acne, and everybody expects acne. What most kids are surprised by, but they don't want to talk about, is when they have pimples in their private areas, which will occur as a result of increased sweating, increased hormonal activity that's taking care of their bodies. It becomes easier for them to develop pimples and rashes in inconvenient places. and they'll be too embarrassed to bring it up. It's not a topic that they're comfortable with, and so they might actually make it worse by trying to ignore it, where a simple discussion of changing to breathable materials, cotton, et cetera, can avoid a lot of discomfort. So it's something that if we go ahead and include it in the conversation on their behalf and prepare them for it, they don't have to feel uncomfortable and embarrassed to bring up the topic.
What else? Well, you might try to avoid this one.
The body is designed to test out new systems and make sure everything's working. So the bottom line is that the body will spontaneously cause or test, we'll call it the plumbing, and it can happen at an inopportune time. This happens for both males and females, but in totally different fashions. For the males, it can actually be a lot more embarrassing because, for example, they can be at school and through no fault of their own, they will experience spontaneous erections as a result of a surge in the hormones.
And those hormones manifest in other ways as well, such as during nocturnal emissions.
For girls, they might actually not even realize what occurred. They just think that there's a discharge. They think there's something wrong with them. With boys, there's a little bit more of an embarrassment component to it. So they're not going to want to ask questions. You'll tend to notice, you know, the sheets. All of a sudden, your son will have an interest in doing his own laundry. The sheets will disappear off the bed. Again, these are things that the body is just going to go ahead and do.
But Dr. Pierre-Louis says by addressing it ahead of time, you're actually helping.
The science basically says that kids handle things better when they know it's coming. So if they know something's going to happen and they have a plan for when it happens, they cope better. But if you catch them by surprise, you're going to get their worst response. So if you tell them before it happens, and, you know, you might want to carry a backpack with you, extra sweater, however it is that you want to suggest, so that when it happens, they're not in panic mode.
And she assures that if you start the open dialogue as early as possible, you'll be better off in the long run.
The first starts around 2 or 3 when your kids are discussing the sensation of touch. And so you'll find them running around the house naked because it feels good. And so at that point, you're having the positive discussion of privates or private and good touch, bad touch. The next major time frame would be around 9 or 10, where you start preparing them for the physical changes that are going to happen, and you let them know what's coming. Around 12 or 13, you start preparing them for the mood swings, the emotional piece, and then make the connections with the physical changes. And then I guess what everybody traditionally refers to as the big talk would happen around 14. But the difference is if you've been talking to them all along, it's not that big of a leap. The transition 14 is where you have the discussion about the consequences, the safety aspect, and you get more into details. But it's not as difficult a conversation because you've been talking to them all along.
But if establishing that culture has escaped your family until it's nearly too late, don't panic. Pierre-Louis has simple ways you can get the conversation started.
Talk to them about something other than them. You start the conversation with, I kind of noticed your friend Larry likes Emma over there. Are you talking to anyone? That will usually get the ball rolling because you're talking about their friend as opposed to them. And then they become a little bit more comfortable. They'll self-disclose.
She adds that even if you sense your child hasn't begun to experience any changes, use the assist of assuming one of their friends has.
And talk about something that occurred to another child or a conversation you had with another parent, and then ask the question that you really want to ask them, which is, have you noticed any changes? Because so-and-so has experience talking about it. And that makes it easier because you're not coming at them directly.
And the other can't-miss starter, frame it in terms of your own experiences with growing up.
This is a very popular one. If you do the when I was your age, I experienced X, Y, and Z, they'll make all the ugly faces at you, but you're actually comforting them and letting them know that what they're going through, you've been there, you got through it. Even if yours is a negative story or a positive story, it gives them the framework that they're not the first one to have done this.
My thanks to Dr. Nadine Pierre-Louis, family therapist, human growth and development educator, and author of The Puberty Experience. Andrew Stroy, WDEL, Delaware's News Radio.